Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIE10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are at the 110 Grill in Woburn having so much fun. Thank you to everyone for coming out for my show. I'm sure a lot of you are going to stick around for Howie's show. We're having an absolute blast, and the food here is amazing. Come on down, get yourself a free book, and just have a little bit of fun. It's nice to have things back open and normal and see people without masks on enjoying their lives. Something that's very not normal is the amount of politicians or state workers who are having Zoom problems. I did not think this was going to be the outcome of this pandemic, was learning how many people, when they say they're working from home, that means they're working without pants on. Now, this is not to the extent of Jeffrey Toobin, so I don't want to scare anyone. This next story, he doesn't go full Toobin. But it's still pretty bad. New Jersey Democrat rep caught on Zoom meeting in boxers, and that wasn't all. Zoom meetings took off after the pandemic. This is from Red State. And it makes sense why. I mean, it's very convenient. A lot of people are working from home. They got to go on Zoom. But it's also led to some embarrassing or troubling issues. Now, this guy, his name is Representative Donald Payne, apparently had been sleeping or lying down in bed during the meeting, wearing a Captain America t-shirt that was too small to cover his belly in what looked like boxer shorts. He got up out of the bed with the camera focused on his naked belly and the top of his shorts. Representative Yvette Clark kept speaking. She was reading something and didn't appear to notice what was happening. Meanwhile, the reaction of another rep was priceless, complete shock. Then she covered her mouth to stop from laughing. The meeting was oddly, ready for this? It was about cybersecurity. These are the people who are working on our cybersecurity.
There should at least be a sweatpants minimum, right? You should be wearing something instead of just your underwear.
Taylor, I could not agree more. I think there should also be a chair requirement. I don't think people need to be doing these meetings from couches or soft surfaces or beds. Anything that's going to tempt you to kind of lay down, I don't think that's a good idea. And this isn't the first time we've seen this. Obviously, Jeffrey Toobin was the extreme. And I don't have to remind you guys about that. A lot of people here are eating delicious food from 110 Grill, so we won't get into that. But there was also people trying to take these Zoom calls from their bathroom. And it's like, if you know that the camera has even a possibility of being on, sit at your kitchen counter, right? I mean, it's kind of basic. Put the pants on and sit at the kitchen counter. I'm all for comfort, but... And this is the craziest part, is that the Congresswoman Beth Van Dune, she tweeted out, another reason Democrats should get off Zoom and back to work, hashtag the struggle is real. And now they're accusing her after she tweeted that out.
Of fat shaming.
This is what one woman said. She said, it's no secret that as a diabetic, the congressman has his weight struggles, but we try to stick to policy here in Congress.
Wait a second. Was he a diabetic before he was fat, or is he a diabetic because he's fat?
Well, Taylor, for me, it doesn't matter because I don't think you're fat shaming someone if you just ask people to put pants on. Like, it has nothing to do with his weight. Everyone should have... And you know what?
This story would be different if this were some sort of senator or representative who stood up and accidentally showed off his washboard abs. He'd be a meme. He'd be a viral star. People would want to. He'd be on Good Morning America. He'd be on Morning Joe. He'd be giving out workout tips.
No. I you're probably right. But as far as the Grace Curley rule, I don't care. I still, if I'm on a Zoom meeting, I don't want to be surprised by anything. I think this is honestly why Zoom meetings have to end. And forget the no pants thing. Let's just talk about the waste of time. People go on these meetings and they FaceTime and they get nothing.
Did you see what you did there? The waste of time.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. But do you agree with me, Taylor? I mean, I've talked to people before who have to go on these things, and it's not like a 10-minute meeting. They're on these FaceTimes or Zooms or, you know, Google Meeting or whatever it's called all day, just staring at one another, muting and unmuting their mics.
Yeah, they definitely can be summed up in an email, I'm sure, in most cases. This could have been an email.
Most things nowadays could have been an email. So I feel bad for that guy, but sometimes you always have to, you know, in radio we always act like the mics are hot, even if they're not. If you're around a mic, you don't say anything you wouldn't say on the air. I feel that way around laptops now, too. You know, unless the laptop is fully closed, operate as if someone is watching you.
I've always been the guy to put tape over the camera, even if the switch is off. I've got the camera taped up.
Oh, 1,000%. I don't think that's that crazy. You don't know who's on the other side of that thing. I do want to go here briefly, Taylor, because we have the Crazy Karen segment coming up at 2:30. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this Andrew Yang thing. I think people would be interested to hear this audio. I'm shocked to hear a progressive Democrat talking about this. He's talking about mentally ill homeless people in New York City. And it's actually, the timing of it is kind of funny because I had a man come in here before the show started, and he works with a lot of people on Methadone Mile and also a lot of people who have mental illness and struggle. And he was telling me how this is just a problem that gets ignored by both sides. People want to pretend it doesn't exist. And Andrew Yang decided to talk about it. So let's go through these in order. Let's start with cut one, please, Taylor.
The fact is mentally ill homeless men are changing the character of our neighborhoods. A woman, my wife Evelyn is friends with in her mom group in Hell's Kitchen, was punched in the face by a mentally ill man. Sent a picture of a bruised face around the mom group, spread like wildfire. This is happening in New York City, and we're not talking enough about it. Families are leaving as a result. In East Harlem, the neighborhood has been changed. Upper West Side, the neighborhood has been changed.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true. I can't go on the New York Post. I can't go on Twitter without seeing a video, a lot of times at bodegas, of people getting the crap kicked out of them and then other people just watching. And it usually does seem they don't necessarily always steal either. They just, it's these violent attacks on random people, and it keeps happening. Let's do cut two, please.
We're talking about the hundreds of mentally ill people we all see around us every day on the streets and the subways. We need to get them off of our streets and our subways into a better environment. And when you ask what I'm going to do differently, I'm going to rebuild the stock of psych beds in our city, because the number's gone down 14%. It should be going up 100%.
Well, you know what's interesting about this, Taylor, is Bill de Blasio's wife, Shirlane McRae, she at one point was put in charge of, I think it was called Thrive NYC, and it was this big, she was a big mental health advocate and got a lot of money for it too, I think, and it just, the city has never been in worse shape. So I think it's a really good issue for Andrew Yang to bring up. I think he'll get a lot of support for it. Let's try cut three.
Yes, mentally ill people have rights, but you know who else have rights? We do. The people and families of the city. We have the right to walk the street and not fear for our safety because a mentally ill person is going to lash out at us.
Yeah, I can't believe he said that, but I think he's right on with it. I mean, I can't even describe to you. So I have a sibling who wants to move to New York City, and it terrifies me. And it's not because I don't like New York City. I think everyone wants to have a part in their, you know, a time in their life where they go there and have fun and, you know, feel like Carrie Bradshaw and walk the streets. But it's in a bad spot right now. And the first part of any problem is admitting that there's a problem. And Bill de Blasio is not doing that. Bill de Blasio is walking around talking about vaccines and Shake Shack and eating on camera. I mean, there's just no question that Bill de Blasio is not cut out for this. Yeah, so this is an old article. It says, with opaque budget and elusive metrics, $850 million Thrive NYC program attempts a reset. Since its inception in 2015, Thrive NYC, the city's sprawling $850 million initiative to address a variety of mental health issues, has operated without much scrutiny or accountability. With few public metrics by which to measure its success so far, you know what that's code for. There's been no success. With few public metrics to measure its success. The fact that people can't walk down the street in New York City is a pretty good sign of its success.
Well, and here's another metric of success. There's a video circulating Twitter right now put out by NYPD News of a man who is chasing down another man, and the man pushes down the second man and starts shooting at him. What you may not know is that he pushed him onto two young children and started reaching around the children to open fire on this man. They were almost caught in the crossfire. It's despicable.
Absolutely despicable. And it's not just in New York City. It's a real problem. And I think that politicians who are open about addressing it and acknowledging it, at the very least, just saying that it's an issue, they're already ahead of the curve, and they're already going to get a lot of support because of that. We will be back on the other side. We've got the poll question. We've got Crazy Karen coming up. And we've got a lot of sound that I think you guys are going to want to hear. So don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show. Eden Pure has done it again. You know them for the Thunderstorm Air Purifier and Gen 40 Space Heater. These are high-quality products and way below what competitors charge, which is what I like. Now Eden Pure has come out with the BioSpeed Clean Vac. This vac is so light, I can pick it up with one hand. No lugging a big piece of equipment around and no cords. The BioSpeed Clean Vac has no bags, so you can even save more money than you're already saving. Also, it's not just a vac, but a handheld device too. It easily comes apart, so you can use it on your sofa. If you have pets, you're in luck, because the BioSpeed Clean has a powerful 8,000 kPa suction to get up all the cat and dog hair. That kind of stuff drives me crazy when you find those little hairs everywhere. This is the perfect product to get rid of that. We couldn't believe how it sucked up pieces of cardboard left over from boxes that had just arrived at the studio. Upgrade to the BioSpeed and stop buying bags for good. Stop lugging the heavy equipment around. Stop yanking the cord out. The BioSpeed Clean Vac is $200 less than competition prices, and shipping is free. Order now, as inventory is very low, but you can still get it if you go to EdenPure.com. Click on the Grace banner. Put in code word GRACECLEAN and save an additional $20. That's EdenPure.com and code word GRACECLEAN. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Oh, a little "We Didn't Start the Fire." Very good. We are here at the 110 Grill in Woburn. Everyone is so nice. Oh my God, it makes me want to cry. Everyone is just being so lovely. The food is great. I got a little salmon with a citrus salad. Absolutely delicious. And Rooster's leaving. Bye, Rooster. Thank you very much. Thank you for the donuts. We very much appreciate that. I don't think I'll see any more of them because he's here now and he took them with him, but I appreciate the thought. All right, guys. So now here's a story that I have right in front of me, and it's from the Wall Street Journal. Avocado thieves discover that money does grow on trees. This is from South Africa. Avocado farmer Mark Alcock has motion-activated infrared cameras dotting 170 acres of groves that send intruder alerts to his phone. It's just getting out of hand. South Africa is the world's sixth largest avocado exporter, and farmers like Mr. Alcock are entangled in a cat-and-mouse game with fruit thieves who abscond with thousands of pounds at a time. As the value of the product rises, the accessibility of it rises because there's more being planted. The property is guarded by an electric fence standing more than 7 feet high and topped with barbed wire. Guards patrol the farm 24/7. It seems a bit drastic, Mr. Blight said, but avocados are the green gold. Oh my gosh. the drama from these people, but I mean, maybe it's true.
People love their guacamole, so you got to protect the avocados.
People do love their guacamole, and I like an avocado. Don't get me wrong, Taylor, okay? I'm not trying to get the avocado stands to come after me. It's the, you know, I've offended so many groups in my time here.
I have half an avocado every morning.
I've offended the beagle people, the bicyclists, the cyclists people, all sorts of groups. There's more that I'm forgetting. So I want to make it clear, I do like an avocado, but Taylor, I can only do them in doses. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not one of these people that buys seven at a time. I just like a little avocado. If I have too much, it's like bananas. You know, if I have too much, I fall off of it.
So here's what's great. Sometimes I'll mash it up. I'll put it on my toast. But what I usually do is they have a brand of hot sauce called Cholula. It's the,
yes,
the green verde. The green verde is green, but it's the green Cholula. Put that on it. Or get everything bagel seasoning. Just sprinkle,
yes,
that on top.
I've done both, and I agree. The lure of avocado theft spans oceans. The California Avocado Commission has a theft reporting hotline. In Mexico, rival drug cartels battle for a slice of the multi-billion-dollar fruit trade. The global avocado market is expected to grow from about $12.2 billion in 2020 to $17.9 billion by 2025. How is Howie Carr not involved in the avocado business? This sounds very lucrative. Avocado theft in South Africa used to be small potatoes. They would be stolen to eat or sold by the roadside. Robbers now work closely with organized crime networks that can launder the fruit into legitimate markets, according to the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime. Large gangs launch choreographed raids on farms, washing their loot, packing them in boxes, and hawking them in markets across the country.
I wonder if avocado farms were on Joe Biden's list that he gave to Vladimir Putin of critical infrastructure.
You can't hack this. I specifically am asking you to leave the avocados alone. The heists are disrupting the supply and price of avocado toast everywhere, from Cape Town to Copenhagen. Howie, they wrote this in such a dramatic fashion, this piece. I really like it. At upscale restaurants, avocados have found their way atop pizzas and into ice cream. In the beginning, guys would come and steal now and then, and it would be with a supermarket bag for their house. Now they come in here and at night, and they just go crazy. Craig Copen, co-director of Canine Security, the company Mr. Alcock hired, pivoted from anti-rhino poaching to anti-avocado poaching 4 years ago. Every night, he oversees at least 100 guards and supervisors on duty.
I mean, at least you don't have to worry about the avocados attacking you, whereas rhinos can charge.
Yes, no, I would agree with that.
That's a good career move.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing that this is becoming quite the business or the crime sprees are happening around avocados. I like avocados, but not this much. Guys, when we get back, it's time for the Crazy Karen segment. If you want to call in with your Crazy Karen story, you can, 844-500-4242. There was actually two Karen stories in the New York Post. One was about flying, which seems to be kind of the last bastion for a lot of Karens, is on the flights, because you still have to wear your mask on planes. So Karens still feel like they can rule the skies, you know? They don't have much control over us here at 110 Grill, but when you're above, when you're flying in the sky, Karens can tell you what to do. I actually was flying with the mailroom manager, I think it was a couple weeks ago. We were going to the Talkers, and the Talkers Convention, and there's this rule that if you have a drink in your hand, you can have your mask down. But if you're not actively drinking it, they'll snap at you. And they snapped. One of the women, the flight attendant, snapped at the mailroom manager because she said, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear you." And she said, "I said put your mask on." Really snapped. And I kind of looked at her like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's my boss you're speaking to."
Yeah, don't get snippy with a mailroom manager. That's bad news bears.
You don't get snippy with MRM. I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a second." But there's, you know, stuff like that happens all the time, and I think now what's really happening, it's happening in two places. Public transportation, so I'm going to say three places. Public transportation, airports, and schools. I think the teachers are still yelling at the kids for not following the mask rules. I want to hear from you guys, 844-500-4242. Before I tell you about an eye mask fiasco on JetBlue, don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for being here today, especially to everyone who came at the very beginning. I really appreciate it. You guys are all wonderful. Everyone's been saying the nicest things, and everyone's having so much fun. I love it. Love seeing maskless, happy, credulous boomer rubes. That's what I like to see. All right, now, it is time, Taylor, for the Crazy Karen segment. Do we have the sound for that? I'll give you
her
a second.
Her name could be Gina or Beth. She just wants a latte.
I'm putting you on citizen's arrest
right now. Are you serious? For what?
But with a slight inconvenience, she grows angry and outraged.
I have a right to sue you for harassing me, the manager, and this entire company.
And a startling metamorphosis occurred.
Hey, I have seen you around this neighborhood too many times. This is ridiculous.
She becomes the Crazy Karen.
You being a gonna help?
I didn't say anything.
I don't know. Calm down. Calm down.
Ma'am, I'm trying to...
All right, I'll never get sick of that segment music. I have two stories here, and at first I thought they were just going to be quick stories, and I was really going to go to the calls, and I still will if people have Karen's stories they want to say, but I think this is a good example of Karen is a state of mind. A lot of people think, well, I haven't had a run-in with anyone recently via the mask issue, so I don't have anything to call in about, but Karens are everywhere. And the masks are just their latest problem. There's always people who can't mind their own business. And I have a feeling everyone here is going to really enjoy this story, all right? This happened on JetBlue. It's a video of a JetBlue passenger being berated by a flight attendant for being gifted an eye mask, and it's been viewed over 1.2 million times on TikTok. Tyler Weitzman was traveling on JetBlue from Fort Lauderdale to Los Angeles last week. It was an early morning flight, and he didn't get much sleep the night before. As he boarded the plane, he saw the flight attendant handing out amenity kits to passengers in Mint. Now, if you guys haven't heard of Mint, I've only been on it once. It was a work trip, so Howie Carr actually footed the bill for it. That's the reason I was able to go on Mint, because it's expensive. But it's really, really nice. It's like first class. You know, you can recline your seat. You really feel like a beautiful person when you're on it. Now, this guy was not on Mint, but his flight had the Mint option. So he sees all these fancy people in the Mint section getting these eye masks. So he says to the flight attendant, "Can I get an eye mask?" And she says, "No, they're only available for the Mint section, the first class," which is totally fine. That's true. You know, you pay extra, you get the little kit. And he says, "Okay, well, if anyone has an extra, I'll take it." And she, you know, she's a full-blown Karen, so she's not going to give him an extra. That's fine, again. But here's where it gets interesting. So he's in, you know, the back of the plane, coach, and a woman overheard him say that to the flight attendant, a beautiful person in first class, heard him say that. So she walks back 10 minutes later and says, "I heard what you said about wanting an eye mask. I have this extra one I'm not going to use. Here you go. You can have mine." And this is when a Karen comes alive. This is a real, real perfect example of a Karen. And I'm going to read to you how this conversation went, okay? And here's how you'll distinguish it. My Karen voice will be different from my passenger voice, okay? So try to follow along. "Sir, I need to take that mask, please. I'm sorry? You didn't buy a Mint seat, so you can't use the Mint products." He says, "Well, do you have snooze kits available for sale?" "Those kits are not available for sale. You can buy them online, but you cannot buy them on the airplane. You can't even buy them online right now." He says, well, I think it's a little ridiculous. She says, but I don't have 143 other masks to give everybody else on the airplane a mask. That's not fair. Why can you get one, but they can't have one? And he says, you didn't give me the mask, though. You did your job. She says, yes, but you got it from the customer sitting in Mint. And the guy says, you gave a customer sitting there a Mint product. Yes, not for you, for him to use. And he says, it wasn't a sir that gave it to me. She says, what's to keep people from bringing all of their food and blankets back there to their friends? They can't do that either. This woman is the most dedicated flight attendant I have ever seen. She is willing to risk it all for this eye mask. And the immediate thing I think of is actually a story that I hope she's okay with me telling this, the mailer manager, but she told me this last week. She was at a, I think it was like a Delta, what do they call those? The Delta Suites or the, you know, the special place for the Delta beautiful people. The Delta Club, thank you. And she's walking over and she says, you know, can I go in here and whatever? And the woman says, no, you can't because it's not on your ticket or whatever. And a man is there and he says, oh, she's my guest. I'll pay for her. She can come in with me. And the woman says to the mailer manager, no, you guys don't know each other. How would she know that? These people are so into being the hall monitors. And then what that reminded me of is the craziest story. When my dad was 50 years old, he turned 50, he went to the Red Sox game for his birthday. He went up to buy a beer. He gave the woman his license, and it had expired that day. She said, I can't give you a beer at Fenway today because your license is expired. My dad said, I'm a 50-year-old man. It's my birthday today. I'm 50 years old. And she says, I realize that, but your license is expired. I can't serve you. He says, okay, no problem. His friend goes up, buys two beers, which you're allowed to do, turns around, hands my dad one of the beers, and the woman says, excuse me, sir, you cannot take that beer from him. Your license is expired. We're talking,
oh, God.
Taylor, we're talking people who are so committed to their cause, which is to be complete pains for everyone else, that they won't stop.
Yeah, you kind of have to plan ahead for stuff like that. I mean, if your dad knew that his license was expired, he should have expected to see that coming. Sorry, Mr. Curley. But so this happened to me the other day. I went to the movies for the first time in over a year and a half with my wife, and they have a bar there at the movie theater. But she had forgotten her purse, so I said, all right, go in the theater. I'll buy us two beers because you're allowed to buy a maximum of two, and I'll go back into the movie theater and hand you the beer. And there was no problem.
See, yeah, but you weren't dealing with a Karen bartender. That's the difference.
But here's the thing, though. I brought the beer to my wife, and she took a sip. She says, are you sure this is this beer? And I said, I think so. She said, I don't like it. So I had to bring it back, and they said, oh, okay, well, we can't give you another beer until this one is gone. So I had to stand there because I couldn't tell them that she didn't like the beer because they said, oh, we didn't see her buy that, so we have to see her license. So I had to stand there and chuck that beer in order to get my wife another beer.
Wow.
That's dedication. That's what marriage is all about.
Yeah, you know what? That's taking one for the team. That's a good husband right there, willing to chug the beer for his wife. Now, there's another Karen story that was on the New York Post. Dad writes note to Karen, who forced him to tear down his kid's treehouse.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this treehouse.
A photo of the note was posted on Reddit where it went viral. Oh, I guess there's a Reddit called You Karen. We're going to have to check that out from now on. So this woman issued a complaint about the treehouse, and this is the note he put on the tree. Don't worry, you're safe now. Your act of casual cruelty was successful. The complaint you lodged with the HOA was heard. They had made me take down the small tree fort that I built on this location with my sons during the pandemic. This is so sad. No longer will its presence offend your walk past my house. Please enjoy your stroll, free from the sound of my children's play and laughter. They are safely back inside now, watching television, I'm sure. Enjoy the obstructed view of my backyard. I will try to keep it up to code. Best, Dave.
Oh, that's come on, Dave. You got to have some more fight in you than that.
No, I like that. I think that's very... I think if I'm that woman who did that, I would feel so bad. Like, what has my life come to that I'm making people tear down tree houses?
No, you got to go. You got to go the Tony Soprano way. And the guy wouldn't give him back the deposit on his house, so he took out the boat into the beachfront property and just started blasting a Dean Martin concert at all hours of the morning until the guy gave him his deposit back. That's what you got to do.
That's one way to go about it. Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. First of all, Taylor, I want to say what a man you are. You are a protector of that woman, and I applaud you, sir.
Not all heroes wear capes, and we don't always ask for plaques either.
And they don't all have badges. So anyways, fast. I went to a restaurant, and this woman was sitting across the table from me. I know her, and she was explaining how she was watching a program on Exonerated and how someone was, wrongly convicted. And under my breath, I went, "You mean like Donald Trump?" And she starts screaming at me in the restaurant right across. "No, no, no," she says. She goes, "He's got 70 million, 74 million net votes. They're not all lies. Talking about Biden or whatever it was. I don't remember all the facts because I was too busy getting yelled at. And I had to do this. Stop!" And that ended that conversation.
Yeah, Joe, that actually happened recently to my parents. They were out to dinner, and this woman started talking to my mom about, it's so nice to be able to talk to people, it's so nice to be able to be out talking with people who have different opinions than you. And my mom was like, "Oh, yeah, the conversation's going." And the girl goes, "Because if you watch Newsmax or Fox News, you're pretty much, you're just getting fed propaganda." And she didn't realize that, Mr. and Mrs. Curley do watch Newsmax. And in fact, sometimes they watch Howie Carr and Grace Curley on Newsmax. And my mom said, "Well, what's the alternative? CNN and MSNBC?" And the woman, just like Joe just said, the conversation went from how nice it is that we can talk civilly to screaming. And her husband kept having to say to her, hey, calm down. He just wanted to, have a beer and go home. He's like Taylor. At that point, he was just chugging his. But she was all upset. And she said, "Joe Biden has done so much for this country already." And my mom said, "Name one thing. Just one. Give me one thing. He killed 40,000 jobs right off the bat when he took over with the Keystone Pipeline." And here's a tip for everybody. Karens and liberals, but I repeat myself, they don't like numbers. If you start telling them facts, that's poking a bear, which Joe probably figured out. All right, guys, when we get back, we're joined by Howard Lawrence Carr, so don't go anywhere. This is, let's take one more. I don't want to miss a Karen story. Maria, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi. I just want to make a comment on something you said a few minutes ago about the lady, the hostess on the airplane not giving the guy an eye mask, and then your dad being denied a beer because his license expired.
Yeah.
These people are not doing their job oh so well. They are on power trips. They have this little bit of power, and they just use it like they are kings and queens of England. They love having power, and that's what it's all about.
I agree, Maria, and that's what I noticed about the kids in Exeter in New Hampshire, who they were being marked for the prom, like who was vaccinated and who wasn't. I was thinking, this is just the teachers. They know that this is ending, and they're just loving it. So they thought, okay, you know what we'll do? We'll start marking the kids, and that will give us a little bit of a rush of power again, and we'll remember how it feels. It's crazy. And there's something crazy that happens to people when they start to get power. People like yelling at people. Have you noticed that? I don't like yelling at people. I go to the grocery store and I'm in the wrong line, or I'm walking down the wrong way, or I'm too close to the cash register. A lot of people, they get their kicks by just screaming at you. And it's like, ooh, I didn't realize we were going from 0 to 100 that quickly. over, you know, looking at the arrows the wrong way in the soup section. All right, guys, when we get back, we're going to talk to Howie Carr, so don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We're here at the 110 Grill in Woburn, and we are kicking off the weekend in style. We were having the best time. I want everyone to give themselves a big round of applause for showing up to the 110 Grill, getting a free book, and having some fun. I am now joined for the car crossover, which is brought to you by Exit Realty. With locations all over New England, Exit Realty has you covered. To learn more about the Exit Realty difference, go to exitrealty.com/New England. Howard Lawrence Carr.
I can't hear anything.
How are you doing, my good man? Oh, we're having a technical difficulty?
Technical difficulties.
Are we back? Do you got it?
I don't hear anything. That's the thing.
Okay, well, you know what?
We're fixing. Well, it may take a while.
Okay, well, can I ask you one question?
Sure.
How are you feeling about the fact that Bruce Springsteen doesn't want you to go to... Actually, you might be able to go because you didn't get AstraZeneca.
I didn't get AstraZeneca.
So you can go to the Bruce Springsteen musical. How lovely is that, Howard? You can actually go to Bruce Springsteen.
I don't understand that he was drinking... in a national park, right, while he was on a motorcycle?
Yes.
But now he's somewhat concerned about other people's public health problems and becoming menaces to public health?
Yeah, I know. It's almost like if Andrew Cuomo's brother was lecturing us about COVID.
Right. I mean, I don't mind him drinking vodka or tequila, whatever he was drinking, but I mean, he was doing it in a national park on a motorcycle.
I know. And now he's worried about what brand of vaccine you
right.
got. It takes virtue signaling to a whole new level when you're like, not only did you get vaccinated, but what kind of vaccine did you get? Like, that's when you need a hobby, Bruce. You start writing more music or something.
That won't be necessary.
Okay, you're right. I don't want to give him any ideas. Howie, what do you got coming up on the show?
We got a lot of stuff going on. I think we're going to talk about Ronnie Jackson. You know, you wrote the column about, do you really think Joe Biden is all there? It looks like Ronnie Jackson, the former White House physician and now congressman from Texas, was reading your column.
Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie.
Ronnie Jackson, House Republicans call for Joe Biden cognitive assessment.
Yeah, I do think it's time. I wrote about this for Spectator. Everyone can check that out at spectator.us. It's just, we talk a lot about reality and, you know, being fact-based and finding the truth. The truth is this man is not all there anymore.
Yeah. And, Grace, you know what I made a copy of? I took the test again this morning on WBOM, Voice of Maine.
Very good.
I have a couple of copies. I'm going to ask you a few of the questions.
You are?
Yes.
During Grace's News?
Well, yes, during Grace's News.
Oh, I'm nervous. I didn't study.
That won't be necessary. The only thing that will be necessary is for you not to study before Grace's News.
Okay, I will not study before, and I will not have any of Bruce Springsteen's tequila either. All right, we'll be right back, guys, with Howie Carr's show. I'm Grace, and you've been listening to The Grace Curley Show.